What's up, guys? It's your boy Dylan at Thunder Jazz, and I'm here with a word from our sponsors, BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports contests and events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Just head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BLEAV50, that is BLEAV50 in all capital letters, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. And welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Topic Fandom Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Huntzinger. We are part of the Believe Network. I am joined, as always, by my wonderful co-host, first to my left, my lovely wife, Chelsea. Chelsea, how are you doing?
I'm not so hot, but that's okay.
Not so hot, but we're about to talk about some House of the Dragon, so better. It's about to heat up a little bit. And also joining us, we've got my main man, Alex Roig, a.k.a. the Sea Snake. How you doing, Alex?
I'm good, man. That was you. That was all you last time.
What was me?
You were the Sea Snake.
Was I?
Or we made some jokes about it in the beginning.
It's possible. Yeah, remember. It's possible. I don't like snakes, so you know what? I'll take it. It's fine. All right, yeah. But hey, like we said, you know, House of the Dragon, man. House of the Dragon episode 3 came out yesterday. I feel like it's gotten better every episode, honestly. Like this past episode was pretty crazy. So hey, let's dive into it. So starting off, you know, there was the, you know, previously on House of the Dragon, and instead of there being a scene in like the other episodes and then the intro, it just rolled straight into the intro. And the intro song. And again, Chelsea started to audibly weep as the Game of Thrones intro started playing. So that's always fun. But it jumped us, and correct me if I'm wrong, it started us right in, what was it? The hunt. They was preparing for the hunt. Is that right?
Yes.
Is that the
on Aegon's second birthday.
Second name day, I think is what they call it.
There we go. Yeah, second name day.
But and that tells you, like, right off the bat, like, I think who was it? Whenever the new Lannister guy, Tywin, one, right?
Tywin.
Whenever he was like beckoning to Viserys, like, hey, like, your brother and Corlys, they need help, like, they're losing this war. And he's like, you know, it's been going on 3 years. It can wait 3 days. So that tells us that it's been 3 years since Daemon and Corlys has started this war with the Triarchy at the Stepstone. So, you know, right off the bat, we have another huge time jump. But they talked about in, like, after the episode, how, like, you know, they, you know, obviously there's a huge time jump, but if you pay attention, you listen, it'll kind of tell you what happened in between that time. Chelsea, how do you feel about another time jump happening?
I'm fine with it. I think they're doing a good job of, like, keeping the pace and filling in the blanks as we go.
Yeah. What about you, Alex?
This is where I have to disagree. So here's the thing. So the Game of Thrones show, it was definitely, the entire show took place within a, like, 5-year time span. Mm-hmm. You know, from the time that Daenerys was, I believe it was like 14 or 15, whatever, you know, in the show, she was about 18, 19. We didn't want to show any nudity of a 15 or 14 year old. So she's about 18 or 19. And by the time it's all said and done, she's about 23, 24, 25. Like, it's not even that long of a time run. And so you were able to kind of flesh out all that information over the span of, what was it, 8 seasons, I believe.
Yeah.
Whereas here, I think the time jump hurts it a little bit, because I believe there was a lot that needed to be fleshed out from episode 2 to episode 3. And I'm a little bit disappointed that they didn't flesh it out more. I knew there was going to be a time jump, but there was so much there was so much going on, number one, between Rhaenyra and Allison, you know, that whole situation, which we see, you know, it's still, you know, Rhaenyra is still feeling some kind of way. Allison is still trying to make amends. But, you know, that's 3 years later. Like, I wanted to see that fleshed out a little bit more. And then 3 years of war at, in the Stepstones, and all we get is basically the end of that. Like, I believe it was like a missed opportunity to get some more Games of Thrones action in there. Some, you know, some more, you know, developing of characters, some more developing of certain plot lines. And I believe we missed it. Like, how did she feel whenever Aegon was born? Like, I would love to see how Rhaenyra felt whenever that happened. I would love to see the struggles that Daemon and Corlys were having with the Crab Feeder. Like, because this guy didn't look like he was, you know, his army doesn't look like it's that huge. You know, they look like they're fighting with more primitive weapons than do the armies of Daemon
Guerrilla
and
warfare.
Corlys. Exactly. Yeah, guerrilla warfare, exactly. And so I would have loved to have seen that. So I do think the time jump kind of a it kind of it took away from this episode, I think.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, what was it? Was it you that said it or this in the after episode how like the first season's supposed to cover like 28 years?
I think I told you that. Or they probably said it too at some point, but
Yeah, like so
yeah.
like time jumps are coming. Like, you know, we just gotta we gotta accept it, but
I think
like
that's why I'm okay with it, because it was predetermined that that was just gonna be part of the season. And so you know, they're leaving it up to us, the fans, to just take it for what it is and fill in those blanks ourselves. Because we are capable, essentially, of saying, well, okay, obviously Rhaenyra and Allison, their relationship's gone. Like, you know, we can, as much as I would love to see it because it makes for great TV, we get it, you know. At least as a girl, I get that part of it.
it was funny seeing how cold they were to each other, how they I looked at Chelsea, I was like, this is basically just a pissing contest because Rhaenyra was
Yeah,
like, did I tell you to stop? And he started and she
that
was
was
like,
hilarious. We're
Allison's like, you can leave.
poor Samwell.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Allison's like, you can leave. And then Rhaenyra is like, your princess orders you to stay. And then she says, your queen says you can leave.
Yeah, she flexed her muscle right there.
Yeah, I've got to go start Nova's feed again. So, I kind of like the next scene, like the next big scene, like as they like transition into the hunt, like, you know, they're getting the carriage together. There's like the awkward tension growing and everything. And there's a shouting match between Rhaenyra and Viserys, and it causes Rhaenyra to storm off. And who follows her but Sir
Crispin
Crispin
Cole,
Cole?
Sir
Crispin Cole.
Crispin.
Yeah, Alex, talk a little bit about the relationship that we're seeing blossoming between Sir Crispin and
Are
Rhaenyra.
you just gonna call him Crispin?
Yes, it's on purpose.
Okay.
No, I mean, you could definitely see that there is, you know, it's been 3 years. It's been 3 years, and he's been tasked as the main protector of, you know, Rhaenyra. And so eventually all that time spent together, you do start to kind of talk. And you know, in the end of it, they're both young, they're both, you know, willing. And so, you know, usually those types of things lead to other things. And so, you know, I'm not real big on the books. I don't necessarily know exactly what happens in the relationship or if a relationship forms between these two. But I could definitely see like the seeds kind of start to, you know, kind of start to grow out the ground a little bit when it comes to this relationship.
So, ironically enough, in the books, Kristen allegedly, because, you know, the books are from an unreliable narrator, allegedly had a thing with Alicent before, which they implied a little bit of flirting going on, but he allegedly took her virginity in the books. Never confirmed or denied. And they obviously aren't even going to explore that any further in the show for time. But then, if I'm not mistaken, There's a little bit of something between him and Rhaenyra, but not in like a consensual way. In a way where I don't really know if they exactly call it rape or if it even goes that far, but there's something that happens where it puts like a huge wedge, obviously, between them, and she does. I mean, actually, it even kind of in like the whatever for the next episode, there's a soundbite where she says like, "How dare you even imply something like that happened?" And I'm thinking maybe even if, like I said, the books are full of unreliable narratives, maybe that was just a rumor. I think they're gonna lean more that way, where someone said, "Well, Rhaenyra's been alone with him an awful lot," and try to discredit her claim to the throne through that direction, which then is gonna force her hand to have to take a husband, which is a big talking point of this whole episode.
It definitely is. And like, before she storms off, of course, the fight between Viserys and Rhaenyra, Viserys basically tells her, look, not even I am above tradition. Basically saying that I had to marry, once your mother died so I can start, so I can try to produce more heirs. And so number one, it had to sting a little bit to Alicent, because I don't know if there's necessarily a love there more than there is a civic duty there, as far as that relationship. But yeah, like, it was just a strong quote that basically said, look, I'm the king and even I have to go ahead and abide by these rules. Same thing with you. You have to abide by them also. So I just think it kind of sets up the next couple episodes, if we're going to time jump as far as Rhaenyra's relationships with the different men that are going to be in her life.
And it's going to be interesting to see, kind of what happens with Rhaenyra in terms of like, because they did determine later on, it's like, listen, like this is something you can't avoid, like you're of age, like people are gonna like court like for your, what was it, betrothment, is that how they, yeah, for your
The
betrothment,
betrothal.
but like they basically like they met halfway and was like, but you get to choose, like it's, I'm not gonna like just set you up with, what was the other Lannister's name? The twin
Jason.
Jason, yeah. I'm not gonna
Jason
set
Lannister.
you up with this dweeb Jason
Yeah, he was a
Lannister
tool.
and his furry spear that he gave me, but I'm gonna let you choose for yourself.
I
So,
mean, I appreciate that at least. He
yeah.
was like, I didn't do what everyone wanted me to do. I followed my heart. So I'm at the very least gonna like throw you a bone here and let you pick who you want to end up with.
Yeah, because she dropped a bomb on him and was like, if it really was for tradition, if it really was for elevating statuses, you would have married
You
Lena
would marry
Targaryen.
Lena. Yep.
And he's like, you're right. Yeah.
Except that is just so a 12-year-old.
It's
So
weird. It's weird
cringe. So
Rhaenyra
cringe.
would rather that happen than Alicent. But
Yeah.
I digress. But there's more that happens in the whole hunt scene. Viserys struggling to kill not even the white stag. Rhaenyra being attacked by a boar, which automatically just made you think about Robert and his death.
Dude, like people don't realize, like wild boars, like especially like European wild boars, those are big boys.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and
Them
they
things are huge.
generally carry rabies and are
Well, that,
poisonous and will kill you.
yeah, that too, but like they're generally like 3 feet, 3.5 feet long, and they usually weigh like 200, 300, 400 pounds, and they usually come running at you full speed. So whenever that thing knocked over Crispin Cole, it's entirely believable, number one. What's not believable is Rhaenyra holding him back like this with her hand. Like that
No
was
way.
not believable. But it's completely believable for him to, for a boar like that to knock down a knight. And number two, to kind of like dig into Robert Baratheon's innards and kind of cause trouble there, like he did in Game of Thrones. So yeah, man, like yeah, that was a cool scene right there. And just her taking out her anger on that poor wild boar, that was kind of funny. You kind of saw you you kind of once again see the dichotomy between Viserys. Like, he knew he had to kill this you know, the stag, but did he really want to do it? You know, it wasn't the white stag, it was a replacement stag. You know, it could be kind of a metaphor for, like, you know, his current relationship status, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, he didn't really look like he wanted to do it. He kind of, the first blow was kind of a meh blow, and the second blow kind of, you know, finally killed the stag. Whereas Rhaenyra was just like, you know, full on rage and just like stabbing, yeah. stabbing, and stabbing. And so,
well, like,
you know,
adding on to that metaphor,
dichotomy.
Adding on to the metaphor, like, the kill wasn't earned either. Like,
yeah,
it was given.
Something about royal hunts in every show ever, because this is just what they did in the time period. They're so boring. Why do we make episodes about these things? There's like, I mean, any TV show that's set in like these time periods, I feel like they all do it. And it's like, the king literally does nothing. They catch the thing for him, and he, you know, whether he takes the kill shot or kill stab or what, like, they're the most long, drawn out, boring episodes of TV ever, because they don't actually do anything. But it is, you know, it tells the story of his inability to do so, even if he wanted to, really.
Yeah. It's again a peacetime king versus a wartime king.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, it's he didn't earn the kill, just like he didn't necessarily earn the throne. He was just chosen for the throne. Like, it was given to him, just like the kill was given to him. So that's the metaphor. Yeah. But yeah, as the boar was approaching, I was telling Chelsea, I was like, "Oh, we're really about to get a jump scare in Game of Thrones right now." Like, you just feel yeah. it up, and then yeah. like. And then I've got to throw this pun
Pumbaa in. Out here wrecking shop.
Yeah, I got to throw the pun in here, man, because when Sir Crispin took out the boar's head, I was like, that man was cutting it close, because that sword was like 2 inches yeah. from Rhaenyra's face. Just imagine, like, it's like, ah, oh, that boar, that was close. Pulls the sword out, and Rhaenyra's just got a gaping hole in her face. It's like, oh, shoot, I'm fired.
That would fired, fired. Yeah, that's the least of his worries right there.
Yeah, but yeah, but, later in the episode. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I mean, one scene, you know, after the hunt that I found very poignant, and this guy continues to be the what should be the hand of the king, because he's making, you know, he's making the right points to Viserys, is Lynel Strong. You know, I believe he's master of, is he the master of coin?
It's
no.
No, that's Nagaon, isn't it? I don't know.
He's the master of something.
Yeah, he's, I can't remember.
He's the master of his unencumbered opinion is what he is.
Exactly. But he's the one that gives him the best advice.
Yeah.
And once again, he says, hey, you know, can I be real with you? And he's like, what? You're going to tell me that your son, the strongest knight in the land, you want him to have my daughter's hand? You
flatter me.
He's like, you flatter me, but no, the probably the best guy for it would be, what's his name?
Laenor.
Yeah, Laenor Valerian, who is fighting off in the Stepstones with his dad. So we time jumped. We did like 3 years. And so Laenor, we see him in the first episode. You know, he's kind of a tall, lanky, you know, looks like he's 12 years old, something like that. By this point, he's about 16 years old. He's wrecking shop. He's riding a dragon. You know, he's
a
his own
like, dragon.
A purple dragon. Yeah, he's his own warrior now. And yeah, so, you know, at that point, you know, the king kind of leans in and he's like, you know, in his head, he's probably saying, you're right. But then he gets back home, and what does he do? Instead of saying, hey, this would be a good idea for you to marry this person, he basically says, you chart your own path. Mm-hmm. You marry who you want to marry. And once again, we see Viserys, instead of taking, you know, the hard decision and saying, hey, instead of doing king shit, he decides to go ahead and just kind of like, you know, waffle and kind of be on a sideline. So you do whatever you want. And that kind of, it may not necessarily mess things up, but it does kind of delay, you know, good things happening in his kingdom.
Yeah, kind of delaying the inevitable, but, you know, definitely does give Rhaenyra the choice. So.
Well, I think I because he's like technically out of the picture, because we don't know if he's going to make it back alive, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
So Viserys is kind of like, well, obviously that match makes sense, but should I even present it to her as an idea if he might not even survive this whole thing? And I think that on top of like him struggling to kill the stag and just being like generally apparently weak, it where was I going?
I don't know.
It
Metaphor.
makes it gives him the idea to let her like decide for herself. And then he also decides if I want him to come back, I need to send help to my brother if I think this is the best match. So he's
True, yeah, true that.
indirectly trying, I feel
To make it
like,
happen.
to make it happen. Yeah.
Yeah, it
Yeah,
was
very
cool.
true.
Like the whole last scene with like the Viserys side, is just like, that one shot of like Rhaenyra just covered in blood, like all through her hair, just staring off into like the distance. And Ser Crispin like approaches, and they hear a noise, and they look over, and it's the huge white stag, like which is like the
Right.
prize that everybody wanted, and like fit for. Fit for an heir, basically. Like they wanted to kill the white stag in honor of Aegon because they feel like he was the proper heir. And it's just funny, the dichotomy, because Rhaenyra has a shot. Like she just took out this boar, like guns blazing with her dagger, and like she has every opportunity to kill the white stag, bring it, throw it at her dad's feet, like, yo, check this out, I did what y'all couldn't do. Like there's a purpose for this, but she's
Yeah.
like, no. Let it go.
I gotta say too, those stags look really bad.
Yeah.
They look
CGI wise.
not good at all.
So I might go Dylan on this and talk about the CGI in later parts of this episode, but we'll wait till we get there.
right, let's get to the fun part because, as we talked about Viserys kind of going soft with Rhaenyra, but also going soft with sending aid to Corlys and Daemon as they're losing this war. Despite all the reasons that he said that he wasn't going to the whole episode, and we transition to the Stepstones, and you can kind of see the conflict. Like they're losing battles, they're losing men, and everybody wants to point a finger at somebody, and it's the guy with the dragon, the loose cannon, that's just setting fire to people without even knowing it. That was the first scene of the episode, was when they
Yeah.
was fighting the crab feeder
Oh yes.
and the dragon.
Damon, my
Killed his own
prince.
guy.
Damon, my prince.
He's like,
And then the
here,
dragon
come
just
to
lands
me.
on him.
Which I'm glad they did that though, because like that was my thing through all Game of Thrones. Like, there's no shot that dragon is just like unleashing hellfire and not like friendly
Oh
fire.
yeah.
And so like I'm glad they did
Especially
that.
during the long night. Like where they were all so closely intermingled and just like piled on top of each other,
Yeah.
they were totally killing their own guys.
Oh
Oh
yeah. That's what I'm saying. So like, I'm glad they brought that up because like,
yeah.
it's fair. But yeah, like, they was pointing the finger at Damon, and then Damon, of course, the squire sends the letter that says that, that has Viserys saying that, hey, I'm sending 10 ships full of men to the Stepstones to help you in this war. Basically saying like, I haven't given up on you, like I want to help you with this. And Damon just absolutely loses his crap, beats the crap out of the squire. And what was funny is the people stopped him after like five blows. I'm like, that's enough. It's like, bro, one hit was enough. That man didn't do nothing to him. And then he storms off on his own in a little rowboat to the Stepstones where the crab feeder is supposedly at. And I was really confused by his motives at this time because, first thing he does is he rips a white piece of cloth and starts waving the
Yeah.
white flag and surrender. And I'm like, does this man really just want to be captured before accepting his brother's help?
I was wondering if his anger towards Viserys was so much that he was just gonna be like, you know what? We've literally been trying to win this war for the realm, for the kingdom. But you know what? If you're just now gonna send us help and I'm so pissed off, I'm just gonna go ahead and end it right here. That's what I thought he was doing. Like that would have been probably because in the previews you see him kind of go down with like an arrow shot, and he got shot earlier with an arrow when he was on his dragon, and they didn't show that. So he obviously recovered from that. And so I thought this was going to be the shot where he gets shot with an arrow, he gets taken prisoner or whatever. And then it goes from there. But continue, because that doesn't happen.
Yeah, no, I mean it's wild. Like, he holds the sword out and the crab feeder kind of comes out and sees it, and he sends his men after him, and they're like taking the sword. And as they take the sword, that's when he pulls out his dagger from his leg sleeve, chops the dude, and just like one man army. And
Yeah,
they
just suicide
and
mission. Kamikaze down the beach.
yeah, that's how they explained it in the after the episode. Like, this is basically just a suicide mission. Like, Damon would rather die than accept help from his brother, for his brother to be like, I helped you in this. Like, I'm the reason that you all were able to win this war.
We won the Battle of the Stepstones. No, no, my
Yeah.
friend.
I really
I
don't
won it.
even understand how has this gone on for 3 years?
Exactly.
I have so
Exactly. And that's
many
where I think the time
questions.
jump hurts it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely, I feel like it might fill in some pieces because I mean, I don't want to spoil like too much going forward, but like obviously they all survived. They're all going to come back, and conversations are absolutely going to have to happen about it. So maybe they're going to give us some more context about what the heck took 3 years when you have a freaking dragon and these people that have like no artillery, like no weapons,
No.
like nothing to combat a dragon by any means. Like that should have been easy mode, but somehow it wasn't. So I hope we get there somehow.
I mean, it was so it, like, you know, like Dylan said, it was guerrilla warfare, and they did have like places to where the dragon could not reach them, you know, when they went into the cave. But still, you know, it really should not have lasted this long whenever you literally had, you know, a nuclear weapon, obviously two nuclear weapons by your side to go ahead and, you know, and fight your war. And that's where I think the time jump hurts it. And also, I think, like, I went into this episode wanting this to be the episode that was impressive, wanting this to be the episode that we saw a ton of fighting, a ton of, you know, just guy on guy, just like fighting against each other, medieval action type stuff. And yeah, I was going that direction, and I kind of
Dylan
pivoted and said, "Hell no, I'm gonna go this way." I knew exactly where you're going. I knew exactly where you're going.
couldn't
Guy and guy action, though. That's not where I was going. But a bunch of fighting. Like I wanted this to be like Battle of the Bastards. I wanted it to be like a hard home episode. And I was so number one, I was disappointed that it wasn't. And then number two, you didn't even show me how Damon took out the crab feeder.
Yeah.
You did not even show me that fight. Like I went like and it may not have been a fight, because it doesn't
Didn't
seem like the
look like
crab
much of
feeder
a
was
fight.
necessary. He doesn't look like much of a fighter. He looked more like
No.
a person who was very persuasive, and he had a, you know, this group of people, or maybe he had a ton of money because he raided all those ships, and now he has money for sell swords. But yeah, man, like I think there was a bunch of missed opportunities with this episode to just show me a Game of Thrones episode, just show me that visceral medieval fighting that we all like to see with these shows.
I don't think that this show is going to give us that really ever, because the Targaryens aren't known for their hand-to-hand combat. I
That's
mean, Daemon
true.
is
That's
a good
very true.
fighter to his own right. Some of them were, but like, I truly don't think we're going to get that
That's
much of
very
that
true.
because they had dragons, and why would they risk their bodies if they don't have to? What are you laughing
I
at?
mean, Damon went
Lucas
badass on
Glenn.
there, and Damon went badass on there, and
Yeah, that was cool enough.
yeah.
And I mean, I'm not like super annoyed with any of it, but I do just need more answers on why it took 3 years.
But that, so that, and then, so do you want to head into the CGI? You want me to head into the CGI?
Honestly, man, like the deers was the only issue I had. I thought the dragon looked better than Rhaenyra's
Well,
dragon in episode
his
one.
dragon is just a weird looking dragon in general.
Sea
Like very
smoke.
skinny, like very skinny in the
Not
back.
Sea
Or no,
Smoke,
I'm talking about
Caraxes.
Caraxes.
Yeah,
Oh
because he's got
yeah.
such a long
I
neck.
thought the
Looks
scene
wild.
with Caraxes, I thought the scene with Caraxes was great.
Yeah, he
I thought it
hasn't
was
looked
great.
bad at all, really.
No, he hasn't. The nighttime, I guess, yeah, that really helped out, you know, probably the lighting in the background. It really helped out with that scene, and I thought it was great. You know, whenever he's fighting off the arrows, you know, the dragon puts up his wing, and I thought that was great. Sea smoke with Laenor, that looked like never ending story type bad. Like there were some scenes in that I was like, look, I understand we're cutting back on FX budget for some of these scenes, but that was not the scene that you needed to do that. Like that looked bad.
I
That looked.
have a lot of questions about their dreads. I don't really understand why they put dread wigs on them when they could just do faux locks on them. But they have these really goofy looking, some of them don't look that bad, but Lenore's looks not good at all. And so him on top of his dragon that already looks kind of goofy just looks even goofier.
Felt like How to Train Your Dragon. Was it?
Like
There was a,
a toothless reference.
yeah, I don't
Yeah.
remember what it was. It
Where
was funny though.
she said my she said I'm a basically I'm a toothless royal. Like I'm a toothless dragon as far
Oh,
as
she said,
royalty
I'm the
goes.
Princess of Dragonstone, but I feel toothless.
I feel toothless, yeah. And then
And
he's
I was
like, well,
like,
you selected me, you know, that doesn't make you toothless at all.
I was like, toothless is a dragon.
Yeah. But yeah, man, and it sucked too because listen, if you're gonna be if this is gonna be the House of Dragons, like I think they there needs to be a little bit more introduction to the types to the dragons that are gonna be included in this. So we got Caraxes, we got Cyrax, also we got Sea Smoke, but we get zero introduction to Sea Smoke. We
Yeah,
get
he
zero
wasn't
like
even on the screen long enough to really get a good look at him. It was like swoop in,
Yeah.
swoop out, and then you're like, wait, who even was that? You know it's Lenore because he looks goofy up there, but
Also feel like we're gonna get that the other like original big dragon. It was like Caraxes, there was another one, and then it was it Vhagar?
he's the one that's been
Yes.
missing.
Yeah, I think he's gonna show up
Yeah.
eventually because like they kind of threw that there in episode two, like they say, people say they hear his songs or whatever. Like, but you don't just say that and like not have a payoff. So
Yeah.
I think we're gonna
Yeah.
see him too, which
Probably at the very end of the season, though.
supposed to be huge. Or, I mean, maybe not even this season, maybe in another season. But
Who's his writer?
it was Aegon's sister
Yeah,
wife.
Visenya.
Visenya, there we go.
Yeah. I'm glad I knew the term sister wife, so there you go. Actually, I'm not glad I knew that term. Anyways. But yeah, no, I mean, and as we alluded to, part of the thing was Crabfeeder, whenever Daemon would come with his dragon, he'd go hide in a cave and Daemon couldn't find him. And whenever clear this up for us, Alex, was that Viserys's forces that was coming to back up Daemon at the end?
No, because there's no way that they were on their way already,
Yeah.
that they
Okay.
were there.
That's
Yeah.
fair. Okay.
No,
So my
those were
initial
all.
thought was, I was like, dang, how'd they get there so fast? But
yeah,
then,
those were all the Valyrians.
why didn't they just do all that to begin with? I'm
So
just so
they just
confused.
followed Daemon on a whim, like, this guy's loose cannon. We better go make sure he doesn't get himself
Probably.
killed.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Either that or they hatched a plan right then and there.
Yeah, I mean it's possible. Yeah, we just didn't see it happen, but like
Once again, you know, something in this episode that probably should have been kind of meted out a little bit, and it wasn't.
Yeah.
yeah. When but like once the army showed up and started backing him, like it was more of a battle instead of like a one-man suicide mission. Daemon saw the crab feeder go in his hole and he knew exactly where to go and he tracked him down on foot, and
Kind of
from there it was
funny that he
curtains.
like retreats into a hole because that's what
That's
crabs
what crabs do, yeah.
do.
It's crazy all the parallels, but yeah, I mean that was pretty much the episode. And I want to jump into the rating, and I want to say I'm just gonna tell you guys like I'm going against the grain. I can tell you guys don't like this as much as I do, but I'm giving it two thumbs up. I really enjoyed the action in this.
This guy, he's gonna give it two thumbs up and then fail to mention that he fell asleep.
I
Like,
fell asleep in the after the episode.
yeah,
I
but
will
like,
bite this to my
as soon
dying
as the
day.
episode was over, he was snoring.
No, dude, like I
Wow.
really enjoyed the action. I
Yeah.
enjoyed the fighting choreography of Daemon versus like all the crab feeders men. I
That was
enjoyed,
great.
yeah, I enjoyed the like onslaught between Caraxes and even Sea Smoke, which
He looked
I,
weird, but
the,
still cool
I
to see
think the
him.
dichotomy of like the purple and like all the muted tones like on the beach and like the soldiers' armors like definitely hurt him. Like, kind of like you guys were saying in the first episode with Cyrax, like how the gold just kind of contrasts with everything. But yeah, no, I really appreciated the action in this, and like that's what I love Game of Thrones for. Like, a lot of other people like I appreciate the character development. Like a lot of people are really tuned into the politics, and a lot of people, just love the sex or whatever. But like the action and the dragons, like that's my MO. That's what sucks me in. So yeah, I'm giving it two thumbs up. Go ahead and tell me how stupid I am, Alex.
I'm giving it a
mid.
He gets a fist bump.
Mid.
It's a
Yeah.
mid.
And
Mid.
I'm giving it a mid, and this may be completely, subjective or objective. I'm giving it a mid because I had expectations heading in. Like when I saw the previews from the last week, and I was like, oh yes, we're about to get that episode. And it turned out to be just a lot of politics, while at the hunt, and then like 10 minutes of like action. And I was a little bit disappointed with that. And also, like I said, like the time jump in this is kind of it kind of left me wanting more with this episode. So I'm giving it a mid.
That's fine.
I think the next episode is gonna pick up directly, but then we're gonna get the 10-year jump halfway through the next episode.
And
Okay.
that's another thing. I wouldn't mind seeing a jump in the middle of an
Mid
episode,
episode, yeah. I think
because
that's
then you kind of meet out a little bit of what's still happening in the current, and then like boom, if you jump forward and Aegon is a teenager now, you know that you've jumped, 10 plus years or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
What's your rating, Chelsea?
It gets a thumbs up for me.
Okay.
It wasn't bad. I wasn't mad about anything other than the, fight at the end was long and, took a while, whatever, everything we already said. And the stags just looked so bad. Like, I really could have done with that whole,
White.
storyline really. Listen, I loved the idea of seeing like a white deer because like I can't even explain it really. It makes me emotional because if they're so beautiful, it looked so freaking stupid. It did not even look like a deer. It did not even look like an elk. I don't know what it was like on steroids or something. It just looked so
So
stupid.
looks like a
The
Canadian.
body to me,
A moose, yeah, I don't
Yeah,
know.
the body was shrunken in. Like the neck head region looked very regal, looked very like, oh my God, this is an animal that is of, royal descent. Like this is what we want for the king. And then the body was like somebody took a trash compactor and just completely, squished it in. Like it's an accordion, but it's in the pushed in mode accordion. Yeah, that was a little bit weird.
Not a fan.
Well, hey, we all got differing opinions. This is the show would be pretty boring if we all just said the exact same thing. So I appreciate the dichotomy of us, of our opinions in this one.
The trichotomy.
There you go. The triarchy, if you will.
The
All right, guys. Well,
triarchy.
at this point, Sir Crispin's got to get back to his post. So I think it's time to end the episode. Hope you guys enjoyed the episode. If you did, be sure to subscribe to us anywhere else to your podcast. Give us a 5-star rating, positive review. We'd appreciate that. And yeah, as always, hope you all have a great night. And until next time, Alex is going to say something that makes me angry.
Nerd up, baby. Nerd up.